The Christmas Gospel from Luke, chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, each one into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth under Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go even now unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at these things, and as they were told just by the shepherds. But Mary, she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, just as it was told unto them. This is the gospel of our Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. A young couple, newly married. She's very pregnant. Her feet are swollen from the long walk. He's barely old enough to own his own business, at least according to Jewish standards. Both are adulting for the first time, and life has not exactly gone the way that they expected it. Mary's pregnancy caught both of them by surprise. I know, that sounds a little strange, doesn't it? But if I brought up the angel and the Holy Spirit right now, you'd probably think it was even stranger. Before she started showing, she ran to her relative Elizabeth's house up in the hills so she could get away from all the whispering once she started to show. Now she's back in Nazareth, north of Jerusalem, in a region called Galilee, which becomes important later. Just as they started to catch their breath and tick a few things off that what to expect when you're expecting list, Caesar Augustus says everybody has to go back to their original hometown and register so that he can recruit more soldiers and raise more taxes. Because Joseph and Mary are of the house and the lineage of David, they traveled roughly 80 miles to Bethlehem. There might have been a donkey for her to ride, but it's not recorded anywhere. As bad as it sounds for a pregnant woman to be walking for 4 or 5 days, 80 miles, I'm not sure 4 or 5 days of riding a donkey would have been any better. Although if she had ridden a donkey, that might explain why she went into labor so quickly after they arrived. Now, they would have been slower than many of the other people on the dusty road, and that might also explain why there was no room for them in the inn. Luke makes the whole thing sound like a Hallmark movie. He even skips the whole evil King Herod thing. We've actually got to go to St. Matthew's Gospel to find out about that. Dr. Luke never hung out with Jesus, though. He wasn't part of the original disciples. He doesn't come along for quite a bit when St. Paul grabs him and makes him a disciple to follow him for a little while. Maybe that's why everything is so simple in this gospel. It's more like an outline than the actual story. We know there was a lot more to this journey, and it would have been nice if Dr. Luke had recorded it and maybe even included some conversations between them as they made their way down the road. But God said this was enough, and so it is. Right up until the angels and shepherds show up, I could imagine some of the young couples that I've married over the past few years fitting into the whole Mary and Joseph thing. There's often a naivete to marriage, the I do's spoken with such sincerity, but having really no clue about what richer or poor, sickness or in health really mean. And a young couple trying to navigate a time when the economic, cultural, religious, and political events are well beyond their control, well, it's never easy to live happily ever after, whether it's Nazareth in 4 BC or Aia in 2025. I've always wondered, The reason Luke didn't include any dialogue in it is because it wouldn't have been very Christmassy. Mary says, you know, could you pick a bumpier road? And I can't believe you forgot to pack some snacks. I mean, would it have killed you to remember some dates and pomegranates? You know I'm eating for two, don't you? And Joseph responds, hey, it's not my fault you're pregnant. You're lucky that angel showed up, or we'd already be divorced. And they walk in silence another 20 minutes. I don't know if Luke was trying to preserve the whole Christmas miracle vibe, and that's why he left things out, or if Mary and Joseph really were completely on board with God's plan, even though it was really hard on them emotionally and physically, as well as, let's face it, challenging their brand new marriage. We know Mary was a bit of a firebrand. If you actually read her Magnificat song, some of the things she said. And Joseph was a man of action based on his midnight escape to Egypt. I guess we're going to have to wait till we get to heaven in order to see their home movies of how it all played out. The words Christmas miracle get used a lot. You know what I'm going to say, don't you? I don't think that means what they think it means, my friend Inigo Montoya would say. So what do you think a Christmas miracle is? Is it a parking space into the mall? How about a Labubu doll or your neighbors not setting off thousands of dollars worth of fireworks? Yeah, that's a Hawaii Waipahu thing. Those are all great. But a Christmas miracle should be a lot deeper than that. My prayer has always been for you to discover pure love and joy and peace and hope at this time of year. And more importantly, my greater prayer is that all those things don't evaporate on the day after Christmas. See, the real miracle of Christmas is discovering that we're loved by God in spite of all the chaos and the pain that we cause and suffer through. God offers us the amazing gift of His Son, even if we're on the naughty list. Now that's pretty amazing. I know why people want miracles. We long for something tangible, something that we can hold in our hand, something that we can experience. But I think we've forgotten what a real miracle is. I mean, the entire story in Luke is a miracle. Mary's pregnancy, Joseph taking her as his wife, Elizabeth and Zechariah bringing Mary into her home for, you know, those few months, making the journey to Bethlehem safely, finding a stable when there's no rooms in the inn, and of course the child who gets born in the fullness of time. When the angels show up and say, you know, we brought good news of great joy, I'm tempted to take a little detour from my faith life, kind of like that whole Christmas miracle thing. It's easy to quantify great joy. Yeah, you know what I really want? A double-double animal protein style from In-N-Out Burger. Or how about a 4-day vacation to Kauai? Or a new pair of cowboy boots? Or, to be honest, a lot more time with my grandchildren. These things are full of joy, but they would also be bound by a beginning and an end. They would start and they would be over, and I'd have memories, but nothing more, unless you count the credit card bills. That's just not enough. Which brings us back to hope, peace, joy, and love. I know that every store, Christmas card, commercial, and banner uses those words, so much so that we've probably really stopped paying attention to them. See, when I read the Christmas story, I have to force myself to slow down because I've actually got it memorized, which makes it even worse. I remove the mystery. I get annoyed at the lack of planning. I create dialogue that's far more 2025 than 4 BC. I try to put it into my culture, my expectations, instead of letting God just tell me the story of His love. You know, the miracle of Christmas is Jesus getting born to save us from our sins. Isaiah, the Psalms, Malachi, Micah, Jeremiah, and Genesis, they all talk about this Savior and what He is going to come to do. Now, a miracle really isn't a miracle unless it spills over into our lives, which is why, if you want to talk Christmas miracles, it's as much God watching over Mary and Joseph, caring for them and providing for them in spite of all the things that were completely out of their control as it is about the baby that gets born in the stable. It was the end of 2019. My son and I were in Hong Kong. There was anti-government protests going on. COVID was just starting to be a thing. We got on a double-decker bus to go back to our hotel. As we got on, the driver made a local couple get off, and it was obvious that they were not happy. When we got on the bus, the driver told us to sit, and we did, and we took off. We weren't on the planned route. My son was looking at the route and looking at his phone, and to be honest, we weren't anywhere near it. And we were going all over the place, and we weren't exactly sure what was taking place, especially when we made 3 big loops around the area where the Star Ferry is. On the third loop, though, we broke off a smaller street, and we wove in and out of buildings that we didn't recognize until all of a sudden the bus came to a screeching stop. Yeah. He opened the door and he pointed. He said, "Your hotel, that way." And then he closed the door and he took off. We found out later that night that there were a bunch of protests all over downtown Hong Kong, and the regular route of the bus was not safe. And so this driver was protecting us. He recognized us as not being from there. He knew that we needed help. So he pushed the other couple off and he went on a completely different route. And none of this was known until after the fact. The angels proclaim, we proclaim glad tidings of great joy. Now, they're talking about Mary and the baby Jesus, but it's doubtful the shepherds, Mary, Joseph, the innkeeper, or any of the people in Bethlehem understood exactly what they meant, because we tend to listen with our ears instead of our soul. Jesus is God's son. Hey, did you hear that? And if you heard it, do you understand it? Jesus is God's son. This is the same God who created us. In fact, he created the heavens and the earth. He created everything that has been, including things that you can't see. He decides whether we get into heaven or not because it's his heaven, not ours. He's got a book with our whole life written in it, everything. See, that infinite, all-powerful, all-knowing God is now sleeping in a feeding trough, having been born into the same world the same way we got born into it. So why should this bring us joy? I'll be honest, if I showed up at the hospital for the birth of a new baby and I walked in and the parents told me, hey, this is God's son, if I somehow managed not to laugh, which let's face it, would not be easy, if I began to think they were serious, I would probably backpedal outside and then start running because I've seen all the Marvel and DC movies. These gods always come to smash things and destroy stuff and conquer people. They, you know, us weak humans. At the time of Jesus' birth, that's pretty much what the Roman and Greek gods were known for, messing with people's lives. But Isaiah, Micah, and the Psalms all tell a very different story. They say the same Jesus is God's love in the flesh, a God who loves and cares for all people, regardless of their class, their gender, their culture, or even their past. He's going to grow up and talk to a woman who goes to the well in the heat of the day so that she doesn't have to listen to everybody whisper about her past. He meets with a religious leader in the middle of the night because that religious leader has got some doubts and fears and he doesn't want anybody to know. He heals the sick and the blind and the deaf and the crippled. He raises the dead. He treats children with respect. And if all of that wasn't enough, when the rich and powerful and haters of the world had had enough of him, they arrested him and they nailed him to a cross. That was the most painful way that anybody could figure out how to kill somebody back in those days. And here, the Son of God could have gone all Thor or Hulk and destroyed and smashed the world that didn't understand him or accept him or embrace him. But instead, he just died. But not before he called out to his father and said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." But all of that is a story for another time. Right now, we see a baby who's like any other baby, crying, pooping, eating, looking around in awe and wonder and sleeping, lots and lots of sleeping. The one thing Luke writes that makes sense is when he says, "And Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart." You know, it's a funny thing, pondering. If we read the story slowly, if we stop to ask questions and look for the seemingly insignificant but in reality earth-shaking moments, we hear the story, not just the words. We get to ask, so where is this going to lead? Why is this child here? What is he really going to do? Where is he going to wind up? And how does this affect me? Because we're here, 2,000 years later, we already know these things. But for those who were there that very first Christmas, they had to wait for everything to happen in real time. For them, the mystery was still a mystery. In a few minutes, we're going to light candles and sing Silent Night, and I'm going to ask you to sing, really sing, not worrying about how perfect you hit every note. Let the words and the music come from your soul and not just your mouth. We aren't Mary or Joseph, but we are cancer survivors. We're prodigal sons and daughters. We're the sick, maybe even the dying. We're the lost and the lonely, the anxious and the hurting. We're the wondering, the confused. We're single. We're married. We're divorced. We're trying to figure life out. We're scattered all over the globe. We're imperfect, yet we are also unique and unreproducible miracles of God. Now, your imperfect story, all the things that were in your control that you totally messed up, and all the things that were totally out of your control that tore your life apart, that's where this tiny baby story begins. God meets you where you are. He doesn't expect you to be or do anything different until the gospel starts its work in and through you. God doesn't expect you to come to Him. He comes to you. The miracle of Christmas starts with the story of two imperfect people whose lives were changed by a little baby. It's really no different for us. This little baby changes us. I know it's scary to believe all this, but that's why one of these people, whether it's a shepherd, a wise man, a husband, a wife, an innkeeper, a government official, or any of the other people that you can imagine in this story, one of them is someone that you understand because they're a lot like you, asking the same questions, experiencing the same doubts and fears. God put them there so they could help you ask and answer your questions, find the things that are going to help you on your journey. But first, we stop to celebrate the birth of a tiny baby, especially celebrate that birth that brings us hope and joy and peace and love. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I told you I'd give you a surprise. Even if it's not midnight where you're at, I just want you to know Christ was born for you. He is the light of the world, and now you are the light of the world. Melikalikimaka, haolimakahikiho.